that's what I think. Paula wasn't having that. Mm. Paula was in love with the hippie white boy. She was. Uh-huh. He sure did. And now it's kind of creepy. Name yeah, an album.
It is very creepy. And creepy. I'm going to just throw this in because I just started recording. This is The Break with KC and Chris Layman. We got our folks from Welcome to the Village. KJ yes, and Lady J in the building.
Hey. Yeah. What's going on, y'all? It's my first time in the house.
Yes.
It's my second. How do you feel about that?
They're rubbing it in.
Just saying.
You don't want me to go there on live. You don't want me to go down that radio show. You don't even.
I probably don't.
You don't. You don't want to go to war. You don't want to go to war with a soldier.
So just talking about Robin Thicke and his bomb ass apology album that's selling nothing.
Yo, I checked the record sales. What was it, like 500 units in the UK or something like that? I'm like,
he ain't sold you, it. Damn.
That's literally like, yo, hey, come to trunk real quick. I got this hot album. Like, go get a copy. No.
I just hope Paula has a copy.
Out of the 500, that's all. She's the only person that needs to hear it.
Yeah, really? Right? Really?
I know artists that, you know, have bombed and struggled and they, you know, they selling platinum albums and shit, maybe only sold like 100,000 something. Like, nigga, you ain't even hit 1,000. You ain't even hit 10,000. I'm like,
well, he did okay in the U.S. It did what? What was it, like 10,000 or so in the U.S.? I don't remember what
that's
it did.
Still wood.
Yeah, like he's hitting wooden nickels right now for real. But to sell like 500 in the U.K. Like,
because ain't nobody feeling sorry for Robin Thicke.
I don't.
I saw that pic that he had about with the girl ass. No, like,
had like two fingers in that girl asshole. I'm like,
damn.
Like, first of all, you're just taking a picture, and how quickly did you get your fingers up her ass? Like, you got to. I don't know what to say to that. Like, congratulations. I don't know.
Yeah, I was like, wow.
Yeah, and it was crazy because they caught it in the reflection.
Yeah.
That's the funny part to me. It wasn't like
smiling and shit. You like, oh
yeah,
that's what
like, and she's just with a drink in her hand. I'm like, girl, you're a freak. It's okay.
She's like, I'm just gonna drink this drink. Girl.
Yep.
Go ahead, do what you do.
Do what you do.
I mean, but it's hard. I don't, you know, like when we went to that to the Maxwell concert when he was out here. I'm like, you know what? As much as I
what
he was great. Yeah, she's a big Maxwell fan.
How is he live, sis?
What?
He's one of them dudes. Yeah. He's one of them guys that be like, you know what? As much as I love women, I don't know if I want to be that guy where it's like everybody is like, I mean, I was like, damn, nigga, it's like 95% chicks up in here. Which, I mean, I'm here with somebody, she looking at Max, I'm looking at everybody else. Mm-hmm. Here. I ain't straight. I'm like,
I agree.
Max setting the mood, and I'm leaving with my wife.
Exactly.
Right.
Continue the mood.
Like, it's kind of like strip clubs. You know, you can go to the strip club with your woman. You just setting the mood up for later. Yeah. You know?
But I mean, with him, I remember when I'm thinking when he dropped that Lost Without You, it was like, oh. Now you got hella chicks. Like, you went from having, like, mad women to, like, now you done dropped the love song of the last 3-4 years. Mm-hmm. Once you drop, like, a wedding-ish song where it's like, oh, everybody gonna have to set their wedding.
Without you?
Yeah, like, his female followers blew the fuck up. Now, if I'm Paula Patton, I'm like, oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Now my husband done, his sex appeal done shot through the roof.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now I got to get some more weapons.
But see, as a couple, they should have had let me not say what they should have done. They could have had a strategy on how to capitalize like crazy off of that shit. Because right now, anything Robin Thicke is doing should just sell like hotcakes. The album after that did well. The one with this whole Marvin Gaye lawsuit.
Yeah, yeah.
But
that one.
That didn't help his circumstances, though, either. People felt different kinds of ways about that. That whole, I think what happened, it wasn't so much the shock that the gay family was suing them. It was the reverse lawsuit they were doing back on the gay family that was throwing people kind of like, wait, y'all know you took this beat, right? Like, we're hearing it. Yeah, like, we know this.
And it was blatant. Like, come on. You can't hide that.
You're not hiding this one at all. And so that turned a lot of people off. Mm-hmm. But then this whole situation is like, oh, yeah, come
once on, you find out that you like actually sleeping around with a woman that we all know. They're like, you're dating a famous woman. You're married to her, and a lot of brothers find her attractive.
A lot.
Yeah. And her career is blowing up.
Yeah. And of course, you know, people gonna be like, word, you cheating on her.
For real.
And part of me is like, maybe because I'm lived in Los Angeles, I'm like, nigga, looks don't hold all the damn weight. Like, really? He's an entertainer. You see how many dimes he sees on a regular basis? Mm-hmm. Like, he got a dime, but I'm like, his show full, he got dimes at backstage. So if all she said, Paula Patton, got is looks, I'm like, good luck with that.
But I think it's the length of the marriage, too. Like, they've been married, what, damn near 20 years? 17 years?
Yeah, they've been together since they were high school sweethearts, weren't they?
Yeah.
That's risky.
Yeah, high school sweethearts.
That's the part it hurts. It's like, you actually came into this industry with a solid relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not like y'all met in the industry, got married. Like, you know, you guys.
It was already 15 years strong before he even blew up.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you just really tricked that off. And I think that's the part that's like, come on.
Yeah, that's the part that probably hurts more than anything.
Yeah.
Because that would hurt me. Because that would have been a conversation I would have. Like you act like you don't know me. Like, we've been together since we was kids.
Right.
You know, I was supporting you when you was rusty and dusty.
Right.
You was walking around with no shoes on, like a hippie. Now all of a sudden you get a haircut and you want to be fly.
Right.
Be gone with that.
Plus, it's not like, she can be like, nigga, I ain't no booger wolf. Like, nigga, if I dip... I got niggas ready to put the ring on tomorrow.
Like, and what's crazy is, like, I'm looking at the mud duck that he had the fingers up, and I'm just like, yo, like, fuck. You got Paula Patton, you special Ed, son of a bitch. You really.
I mean, but you know what? I've been, for the past couple of days, I've been saying this, and I really think, you know, it's really critical in your life, period, whether you're famous or not. The people that you keep in your circle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's crucial
who
you keep in your circle, who's whispering in your ears.
Yes.
Because if I have a relationship that I've been with, and I've been in a relationship for 17 years or something like that, and I am about to mess this up, I expect somebody in my realm to pull my coattails and be like, hold on for a second.
Handlers.
Hold on for a minute, because you were about to screw something up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If you're going to go in the club and be live and da-da-da-da-da, you know what I mean? We checking all cell phones at the door. You know what I mean?
Right.
Whatever it is. Like, I remember when I was in the Navy, you know, I don't speak a lot about my Navy days. But in my Navy days, we had a rule. Like, we can go out and we would take pictures and we would have cameras during the first half of the day. You know, the sightseeing and that stuff. When we came back to change clothes, we great, go to the club and go out and hit the streets. All cameras stayed inside. Like, we didn't take no cameras. You are not recording none of this. Mm-hmm. This is not coming back. This is going to be one of them things that you will have a photographic memory.
Right.
And be like, girl, you remember that one time? Like, I don't know what you're talking about. You know what I mean?
Right.
But we had handlers. Like, that's what we did to kind of reel it in.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, I don't know who these people are, who they PR people, but they are doing a horrible... You need to fire all of them.
Right.
Because they obviously didn't have your back.
Yeah. You better clear this shit up ASAP.
Start over.
Yeah. And we don't know how much they was dealing with, because it is hard having your lives in the media, because it is one of them things where, all right, he stepped out. Do y'all have a conversation? Do you have time to at least kind of like, are we really want to break what we've had up? It was kind of like, oh, nigga, you cheated? And yeah, of course, because she's famous, everybody's like, damn, Paula, what you gonna do? He's foul. What you gonna do? You gonna stay with him? What you gonna do?
I really think that more than anything is what might have caused the rift. Had it been something that was private, it might have been something that they would have been able to discuss
and handle
and get over.
Or at least, had like maybe some, it's been some months. We talked about it, and we came to the realization that
We don't want to be together.
But it was like, oh, nigga, you cheated. 5 days later, I got a divorce.
But once it's in public, once it's in the public eye, it becomes a different situation. Because they actually, the cook, I was telling you, Nigella Lawson, You guys, I don't know if you guys watch cooking shows, but it's British woman Nigella Lawson. She and her husband were in a restaurant having a very heated conversation, and the headline was Nigella's getting throttled by her husband. I don't know what they were discussing, but he had his hands around her neck. Damn. And she's crying. And so you can see the picture visibly. She looks shook. She looks completely shaken up. The color is drained from her face. She's crying, and his hand is around her neck. Now, I don't know what they're talking about, but they said they were already obviously having problems. But that photograph getting leaked to the press ended the relationship right then and there. Like, how are you going to respond to this? You know what I mean? What kind of explanation can you possibly give for your husband having his hand around her neck? Now, granted, that's one of the situations that's scary. Had it not been actually photographed and publicized, they might have stayed in the relationship.
Work it out.
You know, you never know. Once the public gets a hand on something and they start to form their opinions, or we begin to form our opinions about what's going on, it impacts people.
Yeah, and the part is, it will fuck your business up. Because I can't think of who the couple was, but I feel like if something happened like that where the guy cheated and the woman didn't leave, and it was like, oh, now women done lost respect for you. Like, well, we ain't fucking with you no more then. Really? You just going to take it and be like, he cheated and you cool with it? Because if you don't leave, people feel like you just cool with it.
Yeah. Well, it's happened. But I think you more likely, I feel like we are more conditioned to seeing the woman thug it out and say, I'll stay by his side, versus it being the other way around. But people's relationships, like this whole tiny T.I. Floyd Mayweather situation now, it's
hilarious.
It's tiring. I'm like, why is this news? You know, I don't care. I don't care who people are sleeping with. That's your business.
Exactly.
You know?
To be honest, yes.
Yeah, it really is. And when it comes to their marriages, that's really their personal business. I think for Paula Patton and Robin Thicke, I don't want to put them in a place where we are like looking at their relationship as being iconic, because we don't really know anything about it. You know what I mean? They haven't been publicly on the scene like that as a couple as long as some other couples that we could mention. But, you know, I feel bad for dude that he's poured his heart out into this album and then spent some studio and label money, and he's not going to recoup any of that, and none of it might lead to his wife coming back to him.
Shit, the way the industry works, like, you owe money. Like, this shit ain't move no units. Nigga. You owe us some money.
You about to drop three more albums.
Yep. To clean this one up.
Right.
I don't know. I think it speaks volumes to the fact that I'll go back to something we talked about earlier about people's relationships and how we look at people in media or celebrities, and we look at their relationships as if they're doing something special with their relationships.
Right.
They're doing the same shit that we're doing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Trying to hold on to it. The only difference is that no one has a microphone in my house recording what I say.
Right.
You know what I mean? No one is taking pictures of my arguments or my fights or whatever that looks like.
Right.
And so, like you said, Casey, I think that if it wasn't televised, if their relationship wasn't televised, then they may have been able to bring it in, and they may have been able to control it and been able to kind of, you know, piece it back together and take the time that it needed to repair a relationship after there's been a situation of infidelity. You know? And I think it takes time, and I think people don't really give that, you know, a heart look at what it takes to kind of mend some broken hearts.
We want instantaneous answers. And the thing is, I haven't heard Paula Patton say a lot. Robin himself has kept the situation in the media, because it seemed like every damn performance he got to open it up with, I fucked up, y'all, and I'm trying to get her back. Which, for all we know, is irritating the shit out of Paula Patton. Like, really, dude? Like, stop every putting it. Right.
Every performance, you got to say how bad you messed up.
Yeah.
The world already know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Stop using this as, like, because it really looks like a marketing ploy, you know?
I was about to say that. He ain't making no money off of this shit. No. So let's be honest here. Like, figure something else out.
Yeah, this is not working. Trying to gain the people's sympathy is not working. So
pulling all my soul and pouring my soul out on the record. It's like, won't you just tell me this in person? Just,
yeah.
You publicizing it ain't like it's giving it more weight. It's just like you might be desensitizing it, where it's like, well, this is just a fucking record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just thinking it's dangerous from an artist's perspective. I mean, we know artists are hella emotional. You know, mm-hmm. Everybody quote Badu, I'm sensitive about my shit. But if he's at this point where he is so sensitive and heartbroken that he's putting his love life out, not only on his sleeve publicly, but on a record. Okay, let's say none of this shit brings Paula back. Now, what do you do as an artist? Where do you go from here? Is he now going to all of a sudden be Robin Thicke the Playboy? Well, the people aren't going to buy that. Be like, oh.
Yeah, are you going back to the blurred lines where you just like, fuck it, I just got chicks and...
Is it a rebound album?
Which is
next?
Probably what it's going like, to probably going to have to do that.
It's going
to
be a rebound album.
Yeah. It's going to be like, hey, let me just get back to speaking about women and people will assume I'm talking about Paula, but...
But personally for him, what does that do? Like, to me, that's a really scary place to mm-hmm. be. That's yeah. a, as an artist, that's professionally, a very, yeah. that's a very mm-hmm. scary place to be.
I mean, but I think, you know, right now, R&B, not R&B, right now, the face of R&B or just where R&B stands, I think is it really in a confusing spot.
Because
I feel like, yeah, because I feel like there's no real R&B artist out there right now that's really doing the thing. And so I think Robin Thicke is kind of, has now, he's stepped into a space where he doesn't really have a lot of competition. There's not a lot. There's not a lot of male R&B artists out there that are really able to take the space.
Mm-mm. That's the truth. Mm-mm.
You know, Mm-mm. so he could possibly, you know, if he comes out and gets some good writers, he could possibly come out with another album and really fulfill that need. Just because we're hungry for artists.
Yeah, that's the truth.
In that way.
Yeah, we don't want the synthesizers and all the other crap anymore.
Well,
I want to hear.
He is a synthesizer. I know, but
I'm just saying what I personally want. Like, I want singers. Like, I go to YouTube to listen to real singers now. That's where I go.
Oh, R&B dead.
Yeah, I go to YouTube and look out for real
R&B
singers.
Yeah, R&B is now. At some point,
when did R&B die?
When it fully blended with hip hop, to now I can't tell if it's Chris Brown featuring somebody or somebody featuring Chris Brown. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I can't tell. It just sound like, because you hear the dude singing and you're like, okay, in about 2 minutes. I'm about to hear some rapper mm-hmm. on a song, and it's some beat that's kind of R&B-ish, but the soul right part is missing of it.
Dudes are singing like they're rapping. Like, I was having a conversation with a friend, and he was saying how listening to oldies, it just kind of puts you in a paradigm shift because everything about it is so different, you know. And we were talking about this. We went to go see the Inner City Youth Orchestra. They did a tribute to Motown. That Motown tribute blew my mind in the sense that it really helped me understand the depth and complexity of Motown music. The mm-hmm. fact that they had so much heavy instrumentation. And the songs lyrically were very simple. It wasn't complicated. You know what I'm saying? But there was still a subtlety to them. It wasn't so blatant in your face. You know, it was obviously a lot of it was romantic love music. Mm-hmm. But the music, the instrumentation, I'm like, there was an actual orchestra in the studio on this day that had to build the layers of this particular song. It wasn't just a sample. It wasn't just a drum beat up against, you know, somebody's little whack ass four chords. You know what I'm saying? And like these dudes now, like when we were watching that sad Boondocks episode, and then the guy was supposed to be like Drake or whatever, when people just start singing and cursing all up in the love song.
It's like, yeah, it's like they singing a rap lyric where it's like, it's just kind of, or it's kind of harsh.
And it's like, wait, what?
Because the romance part of it is gone. You had singers who at least were like, we're not going to just be blatantly like, hey, I'm trying to fuck. It was like, let me put some romance. Let me put it under the gauze of love, even though it may not be that, but it may be this one night stand, but I'm going to make it in terms of like, oh, it's love, mm-hmm. it's passionate. Now niggas is like, I'm about to beat it up, girl. What you talking about? I'm about to lay you this pipe. And that's how they sing it. You're like, damn, like,
but
there is no like,
but the women
smoothness in it. This is like,
it's a different mindset of the generation. Because what the homie was saying, he was like, when I listen to oldies, I think about how many of us were created mm-hmm. to this music. And now these poor little children is being created to Trey songs.
Yeah, I feel like instead of the motion being real, kind of like, slow pounding per se. Now it's like rabbit sex, where it's just like, bow my to get in, give me that. I'm good. Okay, thanks. Because the music, you'd be like, y'all, this ain't really love making. This is like fucking music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's no romance to it.
That's funny. It's funny you say that, because I was listening to, coming in here, I was listening to Kim, who is one of my favorite artists, male artists right now. I was listening to Kim, and then Marvin Gaye came on, and I was just jamming to Marvin. I was like, they don't make music like this anymore.
Nope.
You know? Mm-mm. Like, the music really, I don't even know what the damn song, I couldn't tell you the name of the song right now to save my life, but I could tell you what that trumpet sound like.
Right.
You know what I mean? I could tell you what that bass sound like.
Yeah.
And I just think that, I just think like you're correct. Like, the music is what had, the melody was what had me.
Mm-hmm.
Not really about the Trey Songz. Like, every time I hear a Trey Songz album, you know what I think about? A stripper pole. For real. I promise you, that's what
that's it, how it is.
It, yeah. That's what it puts me in that mindset. Like, really? I'm about to go get that pole real quick.
Really?
Shut up.
And see, even the music that we grew up on listening to, KJ, you a hot mess. Listening to in the late 90s and the new millennium, you know, groups like Jodeci, which can be credited for being sort of like that turning point in R&B. There was still something else about that music that had an additional layer of that romance. I mean, they were getting there. They were, you know, I'm thinking about freaking you. But there was still a subtlety, some subtlety there, sorry. More so than what we're listening to. I can't stand this music now.
Yeah, there's no, it's more, just too much. There's no more of that.
It's not enough.
There's no more of that slow jam essence.
No slow jam.
Yeah,
no
there's
slow jams.
Like...
No slow jams.
That's funny because I'm like, thinking about like, we were probably the tail end generation.
Yeah.
But we were still like, okay, you know, DJ would be like, I'm putting this song on for y'all. Here's your close it. Mm-hmm. Now it's just like, we don't even put that on because niggas gonna be like, why are you slowing down the music?
Yeah,
I'm trying to grind. It was like, but there you used to be an in between. Like, we'll get you that grind, but we're gonna give you the moment where we kind of like, you can get your romance, you can get your Mac on. Now it's just like, just do the shit as you, when you can, because I'm not giving you that moment.
Like, do people slow dance anymore? When you go out to the club, is there a slow dance moment?
No. Hell no.
I don't go to clubs. Right?
Like, none of us know.
Nah, my wife and I do slow dance in the house.
We slow dance in the house.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and put on, what's that damn station? I don't know what it is. But we'll slow dance, Pandora or thing on Cox, whatever, but we'll slow dance with each other, like, because that's needed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But as far as music nowadays, like, let me throw some out here. And let me just, I know it's a little bit just throwing out there, but we've all seen the gay rapper. Have y'all seen that gentleman?
Oh, Pop That Boy.
Throw that boy pussy. Yeah.
I'm gonna be real here. When I saw that, I was kind of like, "We're here." it's not to me. We're not even doing music anymore. It's all about, do you have a certain look? And I think if you have that look, I think you can sell anything.
Hmm.
Especially these young kids, you ain't gotta have no fucking talent. This dude, to me, it's not so much the content of his song. He sounds like everybody else, but because he's doing it from a gay perspective, he has that look, the image that is needed to push that type of brand.
Because his look was like a regular look.
He looked like a regular, he looked like a regular old dude.
And then you get that.
But, and then you get to hearing the track, and I was like, wait. And I had my glasses on. I was like, oh, I was grooving. I was like, yeah, get it, girl. And I was like, wait a minute. So.
And she played me that. I was like,
you know, I didn't want to be like too off topic, but I'm just like, the dude is, it's about an image now. You don't need talent.
No, well, I mean,
you don't need talent.
Let's look at Rihanna. I'll call people out because she's garbage. Like, really, it's never been her voice. It's never been her voice because she's never, what initially got her is her ability to dance. Because if you remember,
Her first album, her first song was Upon the Replay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She danced the whole album. Mm-hmm. You know, that little Soulja Boy like type dancing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or whatever, you dance to the song.
Soulja Boy type. I like
what,
that.
What is, I don't know what it's called. I don't but, know. You know, either, you but, dance to the song. Yeah. Then after that, they was like, oh, well, that's not going to work too much more. She got butt naked. And then, you know, she started taking off clothes. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, she's the hottest thing.
She's a fashion
icon. Yeah, she was that.
Same thing with Beyonce. She's mm-hmm. another one. You know what I mean? She's another one now that in the beginning, I think she wore more clothes. Now she don't wear no clothes anymore. No. You
know she can mean? Actually sing.
Yeah.
But the image for me of Beyonce has been troubling in the sense that because she is such a huge character on the world stage as a black woman, it seems like the more famous she's gotten, the lighter she's gotten, the lighter and longer the hair has gotten. Mm. And what ends up happening is the masses, well, some of the masses, the younger masses especially, they follow that trend. This is what is beauty. This is what is popular. And when she first came out, Beyonce, I mean, she was always a fairer complected member of the group. But she didn't have super light hair. Her hair was mm-mm. dark. She had videos where she had braids. And even now she'll do braids. And I do appreciate her doing that. And she'll do natural styles every now and again. But I don't know what it is about black women and blonde hair. It's just this thing.
You gotta have a blonde.
You know, and like there's a new black. Have y'all seen the new black Barbie?
Mm-mm.
She's like reality star Barbie. She got blonde hair.
Oh. In the suit, in the white suit.
Yeah, she looking mean.
Yeah, with the two goot, with the two.
I actually put a picture of that on our Facebook page.
Okay.
And the flack that I caught for that picture.
Are you serious?
I caught so much flack. I'm like, is this the future of us, basically? And the responses that I got was, oh, you need to do your research. This is just a novelty thing. And I'm like, it doesn't matter if it's a novelty thing or not.
Right.
Somebody has conjured in their head that this is what our women look like.
Right.
Yeah. I don't give a fuck what you want to say. someone said, I think they look like this. No, in the hell they don't.
Right.
The Real Housewives of Atlanta, I can't fuck with none of them.
That's what that whole is.
Yeah, I can't fuck with none of them. It's I need the a woman that, like, my wife, my God, she can get out of bed, put on a dress, and I'm like, you can take it off right now. You know what I'm saying? I don't need a woman that needs to put on, gotta love me though. It's a blunt. But I like a woman that can just get up, put on some clothes, and let's go. The fact that this doll, it had like the blush and
the makeup,
like the
blonde hair. I'm like, first of all, we know the blonde hair wasn't here at birth,
right?
So let's go ahead and chalk that up to a wig, a weave, extensions,
right.
Whatever.
Right.
That's not the real black woman to me.
Yeah.
Now, there are women that wear that, and that's, if that's your look, then so be it. I'm not gonna hate on you.
And there are those rare situations where you do have black people that are born with sandy colored or blonde colored hair.
Yeah, okay.
That phenomenon does exist, yeah. But it's not the majority.
No, you have sisters who the blonde hair fits well with their complexion.
Yes.
And that worked.
Yes.
Yeah, that doll was like, yeah. It was like, this is a real housewife. This is a black. This is a basketball wife looking a little mean.
And let's be honest here, it's a basketball girlfriend. Half of them chicks ain't basketball.
Yeah,
wives.
Right. That's exactly what that was. Had two little what's that? Dolce and Gabbana. Basically, two Gucci bags, Louis Vuitton bags, looking like what? Like,
you know,
this doll don't look. It just looked like an angry black woman who all about dough.
And that's the mean expression is what bothered me more than anything. And the thing is, I want to say this about Beyonce, because she's not somebody who, as an artist, I hate. I don't hate Beyonce at all. She's doing her thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not somebody who buys her music regularly just because I'm not her target demographic. But I do think, unlike some other artists that get shine, that she actually does have talent. You know, she can actually sing. Yeah. She puts on one hell of a show. You know, Tina Turner-esque. She's definitely borrowed from that school with dancing
and the hair and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Just she'll put on a fucking performance. Yeah.
All her all female band, all that kind of stuff.
And I wonder who who makes the decisions? Because when I see artists, I remind myself a lot of what we're seeing is not the artist's choice. They got people who make choices for them in regard to what's going to work. So who's mm-hmm. behind her saying this is the way you need to go in regards to a look? And like even with Destiny's Child, she kind of started that transition then to make herself stand out. Mm-hmm. From the group, you know, I'm a little lighter. My hair's a little lighter. I'm in the front.
You know, it was funny. I remember a commercial. It was a Christmas commercial from Target, and it was kind of like the beginning of them saying they're going to go their separate ways. Mm-hmm. And you know, it had Beyonce, and it would always kind of focus in on each girl for like a quick second. I just remember Beyonce looking like radiant as hell in this commercial, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and the other two girls just kind of looked like stepchildren almost.
Like we just here.
Yeah. We're filling the void because, you know, Beyonce let us be here kind of. Mm-hmm. And I knew then, I was like, yeah, they're starting to go their separate ways. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be honest here. I think Beyonce is more marketable.
Yeah.
I think she's more the marketable girl out of the three. I think Kelly Rowland has the best voice. To me.
Okay.
Personally. Okay. My wife thinks Michelle has a better voice.
No, I don't think that. Well, don't listen to me. Mm-hmm. That was your other wife. It wasn't.
Sorry. Well, she did. Well, rent was paid that month. So yeah, there.
I think.
You can't get me.
No, I was thinking, when did it shift? I remember, do you remember the video where Beyonce and Shakira did a video together, and I remember watching them in that video thinking how much they look so much alike. Beyonce had the wavy. Nobody remembers this video. Mm-mm. Shakira and Beyonce did a video together, and they both were like up against the wall doing some like little motion or something, some little weird, little funky. I remember just thinking like, how do you get their body to move like that? But that's what always makes the video stand out on my head, because they was up against this wall, and I thought it looked awkward but really cool. Mm-hmm. The way they were moving there. Just Google it. You'll find it.
I'm trying to think of that. They did a song together.
They did a song together, but they looked so much alike. Like, I kind of, like, the camera would move, and I'd be like, okay, wait, I got to look again and see who's who. And then I was like, well, is Shakira that light? I mean, that dark, or Beyonce that light? Like, right. It was just really confusing to me as to why they looked so much alike when I didn't think they looked alike. Mm-hmm. But maybe that was the purpose of.
Their styles are very. Yeah, their looks in terms of how they're done are very similar.
I've never seen that video. I gotta look that up. Just for kick the giggle.
And you know, because Shakira is worldwide. Like, oh yeah, Shakira is like a huge popular star. Yes. You know, and so I wonder if that was a turning factor. Like, you know what? Maybe we can tweak Beyonce a little bit to make her be more
marketable in a world market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because now, you know, because of her color and hair color. Internationally, there'll be women from different places that look at her and think to themselves, oh, I kind of look like her, or I can identify with her.
Yeah, I can relate to her.
Right. Mm-hmm. Versus her only being something that's, or somebody that's identifiable to the black, or, you know, black mm-hmm. people.
Right.
And so, yeah, I don't know. Just today's artists just don't. Some of them try, and I would say, I'm not going to say that. I just think there's not the same depth and complexity to music that there once was. And I do think our generation was the last of it. Like, at this point, I have to give it up to groups like Jodeci and, mm-hmm. you know, ones before in that same sort of elk, because they were at least a little bit more in tune with our musical roots than the music that we hear today. It's just
like now everything is pop. Like, that's the goal. Everyone's goal of coming out in selling music is to sell out, to sell music in a pop genre.
Yeah.
It's not to sell music. No one wants to be in the R&B genre anymore.
Yeah.
You know, because that's limiting them to just the African American community. Yeah, just that's the black.
I was about to say.
You know, so everybody wants to have that
isolation issue.
Everybody wants to have that song that crosses over, that blurs all the lines.
And hip hop, you know, too. When Black Eyed Peas got Fergie, because remember when Black Eyed Peas was a local group?
Yeah, I remember that.
And it was just the joints. Yeah, and we loved them. Then they got Fergie.
I got that the first 2 hours.
And it took it to a whole new level.
They was international.
Yeah, all of a sudden they came out with that Where Is the Love with Justin Timberlake.
And from that moment on, it was like, yeah, we doing pop. And they blew it up. And it's almost like, well, he wanted to get bigger and it worked.
Yeah, it worked.
It bothers me. It bothers me that all these white artists are coming into the rhythm and blues genres, the soul genres, the hip hop genres, and really taking the shit that we've done for years and taking it mainstream. Well, as if we haven't had rappers doing this forever. As if we haven't had to. As if we don't have better singers than Justin Timberlake and what's the boy name? The one we were just talking about,
Robin Thicke.
Thicke. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
The industry is making that choice.
It's their twist on things.
Yeah, because there's so many people that can sing, period. But within our community, it's almost too many dang on singers. If y'all been on Facebook with this damn gospel challenge, I said, if one more person put a fucking video up of this gospel challenge, I'm done. It's so many singers. You know what I'm saying?
And they gospel music?
Yeah, they can sing anything. But they this particular challenge is, you know, put yourself out there singing the gospel song.
Oh, kind of like
the ice challenge. But
what's the one? Music? The one that's on. The one that's on BET. That's like the BET
idol. Yeah, this is just people recording themselves. Sunday's best.
Yeah.
This is people recording themselves and posting it to YouTube or wherever. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's tons of people that have wonderful voices. Mm-hmm. They can harmonize with themselves. They can harmonize with other people. It all sounds wonderful. This is the industry. They're choosing to keep certain people out or market certain people a certain way, and now they're packaging all these white artists as R&B and soul, so that now the face of R&B and soul is damn near complete. I mean, back it really is.
Yeah, it's like that. We're going back to that period where they're like, yeah, how about we just put a white artist on the cover?
And then they got a fucking gold mine in Adele. Because she actually
can blow.
She's a complete and total package. Mm-hmm. She can blow and she can write.
Mm-hmm.
And she's so good that it doesn't matter that she doesn't meet the status quo in regards to, you know, she's not out there dancing. She ain't got to be Beyonce.
Well, she don't have the small frame look that pop chick. But she's been in it for a minute then hit that rolling, did that album, and it just blew the fuck up. So people are like, well, she's selling, and they like her for who she is, and she's selling.
And she's actually good.
But they feel like she's different.
Yeah.
She doesn't move. This is my argument with real singers. Real singers can come out there with a mic and stand there.
Yeah.
They ain't got to move. They ain't got to gyrate. I think that's the one thing I love about Jill Scott. Jill Scott will come, and she'll take the stage on just a mic.
Mm-hmm. She'll be doing some little sensual.
You know what I mean? And she'll give it to you, and that's it. She may give you a side step to the left and a side step to the right, and she's going to come right back to the mic.
That's it.
Yeah. And look, Layla Hathaway, too. We love Layla. We love Layla.
One of the most underrated artists.
But with one of the most amazing voices ever.
Singing them chords.
Yeah, like, she does the most foolish shit.
Are you singing
voice.
Chords?
Like, you just do 3-part harmony with one voice?
Like, yeah, she's ridiculous.
Yeah,
definitely. She's sick with it, you know. But I hate that artists like that even feel like they have to try to keep up with the artists that are doing these like crazy entertainment live show type situations. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, to me, MJ was an artist who probably found himself just based on budget and venue size. Like, I need to go all out and do, like, he was such an innovator in this business.
He loved to dance.
Yeah. And he did love to dance.
Yeah.
He was such an innovator in the business that I think a lot of stuff that he ended up doing with live performances was stuff that he created probably in his own imagination. Like, let's have this happening and let's have this happening. And all this this wow factor happening as an entertainer. Mm-hmm. Even though, to me, MJ as a singer and a writer, he didn't have to do any of that if he didn't want to. Because he had the voice. I felt like he had the voice and could have pulled it off if he just wanted to stand there. But he was never standing still. He's a dancer.
That's part of him being brought up in the Motown. Where it seemed like there has to be some kind of like, you gotta be doing something. You can't just stand there.
Yeah.
Well, it seemed like the women were Aretha Franklin. I'm like, if you just sit up here and just sing your ass off, we just like,
Damn, okay.
Yeah, but I think that may be a difference on how women, you know, a woman's sex appeal will, can still sell mm-hmm. without her doing any kind of real kind of...
And that's changed nowadays. That's like, true. Back then, women... I'm not going to say women were fully covered, but they didn't wear half the shit that these chicks were wearing.
Well, they wore clothes. You can't,
I mean, you can't really...
Right.
It's hard to market a female these days without them being half naked. Let's just go ahead and say that.
That's true.
Yeah. It's literally impossible.
Because everybody wasn't doing Tina Turner. Right.
But then Tina came out when she started doing her rock stuff, and you could still be like, what's love got to do with all? And you still be like, I'm jamming. But then she'd have jumps where you just like, I'm about to just dance and sweat my fucking ass off. And then just get out there and you like, all right, Tina.
And you can do that.
But that, I think
but
that
she's earned her place, though.
Right.
But that speaks to the culture, how pop culture shifted during the 80s. You know, because What's Love Got to Do With It came out in, what, early 80s? Mm-hmm. 82, 83, 80, mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. So that's when mini dresses were in. That's when, mm-hmm. you know, those that the style of clothes kind of shifted at that point. So
but
she shifted.
Those women could sing.
True.
Because a lot of those artists, to me... Maybe they didn't have like boob and midriffs out, but when I think about the singers of the 70s and the early 80s, everybody's to me, they were all wearing kind of short skirts and mm-hmm. high boots, and there was a lot of dancing and shaking. Like Tina's girls did it, but there were other groups, you know, you might have just been standing there swaying back and forth.
Look at fucking Whitney Houston ass. Like, to me, Whitney Houston, she don't do nothing for me. But with people like Whitney Houston, that's fine. She ain't, and she had the voice. People like, all she got to do is just dance back and forth.
And I'm good with
Mariah
that.
Mariah too.
Yeah, Mariah too.
Mariah is somewhat okay to look at, but
Mariah, get on
she's
my
okay.
Nerves. Oh, I'm her, so
yeah,
okay. Mariah but,
yeah, early Mariah.
Early Mariah.
Yes, right. So we have
breaking
to say
glass,
early Mariah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not,
versus breathing
movie,
Mariah right now.
Litter Mariah. No, I'm good.
Not Jermaine.
The breathing Mariah.
Yeah.
The breathing
Jermaine Dupri Mariah.
Yeah. So let me ask y'all this. We was kind of talking about it earlier. Your girl, Iggy Azalea.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she just makes me laugh. I get the shoulder-shaped giggles every time I hear her voice. And I think I'm one of the few people that was probably introduced to her late. So I knew she was white, supposed to be sounding like a Southern rapper. And the first time I heard it, I was like, Chris, like, how did anybody fall for this? Like, she sounds so off and strange to me. Like, when I think about any female, any authentic female Southern rapper, to me, none of them sound, even the Brat, and the Brat's way of exaggerating her voice doesn't sound anything to me like Iggy Azalea. Mm. I just think she sounds like somebody
she's
imitating
fucking
somebody
fake.
Else. That shit just is funny to me.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why you had a Nicki Minaj off her, who, in her own sense, had to change her shit. Because all of a sudden now she like, okay, I'm going to just go back to black hair,
but she
regular looking makeup.
But she because she came out the gate little Kim'd up.
Well, her problem is she came out very little Kim-ish trying to spit. I remember when she was kind of like, I'm bi. And then all of a sudden it was like, she did a song wherever she started singing. All of a sudden, her shit sounded real poppish.
And let's not get on her fake booty. That's a whole nother conversation. Yeah.
Dog, have you seen the before and after pictures?
No. I've just seen too many shots of that booty up close. And it's just
my
not real.
God.
She's taken out her implants.
She
and
my breasts.
Or both.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I've seen pictures. She was built like a 12-year-old boy. Straight up.
I've seen those of the young people.
She was a stud, too.
She was a lesbian for years.
Yeah,
I don't know
she was a hard stud. She was dating Remy Ma.
I remember that rumor.
She was a stud. She was, and they had a video of her on YouTube where mm-hmm. she called Remy, and I was like, okay, they bullshit. And Remy picked up. I was like, yo, that's her. I was like, damn. You know what I mean? But it just speaks to, back to what we were saying, Little Kim can do those things, right? Because to me, she kind of came out with it. For our generation, she was very prevalent, very strong.
Yeah.
We've already seen that look.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here you come, Nicki Minaj. You talking about Roman and split personalities and all this bullshit. I don't want to hear that shit.
Prince did that already.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's already it's already been done.
Right. Doing what Lady Gaga.
Exactly. Lady Gaga is the white girl version of Lil' Kim, you know, but for today's standards. And Miley Cyrus is a fucking nut job. Let's go ahead and just say that too. You know?
Well, I don't think she's a nut job. I just think that Miley Cyrus is she got daddy issues. You know what I mean?
You know,
she got daddy issues on a global perspective.
How is it? What is it with her daddy?
I'm not gonna say
was
she got
just
daddy
not
issues.
There because he was touring and he just wasn't there.
I don't think so. I don't think that her dad was there. Like, I think he tried to come in, like, at the ending, but by that point, the damage was already done.
She found a way to make some dough when she wanted the attention, so she just like, whatever I need to do, you know, what white people do, like, I'm gonna act real black, quote-unquote black, and act a fool, and then as soon as I get called,
black friends and everything else.
And then once I get called, like, you out of pocket, then be like, oh, okay, let me take this off. Yeah, act white again and be like, I'm sorry. I'm gonna go back to normal.
Yeah, take the facade off.
But I think maybe, you know, I really think that might have to come. Something has to be looked at the fact that as the Disney kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like somebody, like everybody kind of like, oh, they're going crazy. Look, she did it. What's the little girl? Britney Spears did it. It's like people got to kind of look at.
Britney Spears' little sister did it. Like, she got pregnant.
Like there's something really to be said about this Disney culture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that nobody's speaking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the whole wholesome world. They feel like they have to be so pure. And then, but this is all the young artists hit it. Even like Usher, all these guys who were singing at like 13, 14, when you get to be 19, 20, and you want to be like, hey, I'm an adult and I want to get down and I kind of want to be a little more edgy, people are like, well, you weren't that. You were G-rated. Mm-hmm. You can't be like all rated R. And some of them are just like, you know what? In order for me to do it, I got to go there.
I think that was MJ's struggle for a lot of his career. Just trying to grow the fuck up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And still appeal to the masses. You know, everybody can't be Prince and just come out naked on a horse.
From like
on the album cover, like, this is me.
But I mean, you got to think about it. That's the problem when you are selling records at 13.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then when you come out selling records at 20.
Yeah.
Like there's two different things that are being said. 13, totally you're not different. Having
you can't
the
sing
same
about sex at 13.
At 13. Yeah.
You can't sing about
sex.
Right,
and so I think
Aaliyah
something.
Got away with that shit. And we know why.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she's the only one. Yeah, we know why.
Yeah, because the fans, the parents of the fans will feel of like, well, my daughter's not young enough. It's the same thing with like Beyonce now. It's like, oh, well, you got young fans. And it's like, well, why can't I just be an adult?
Yeah,
she's talking
exactly.
about adult stuff. Like I
exactly.
She can't never do that.
She got uber sexual after having a baby.
Mm-hmm. Which I personally think she about to have another one. That's why I was like, she's like, let me get all this nakedness and all this out before I get a little older and start popping babies out and be like, I can't do this no more.
I mean, she's what, 30 years old?
Who knows? You can't trust none of this entertainment shit. Uh-huh. She could be 37. We wouldn't even know.
I really don't know how old she is, honestly. I don't know. I thought she was like close to my age, like maybe 30.
She'd been 30 for about 3-4 years.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. I remember when that case video came out. When her video, there was an argument of like, was she like 18 at that point, or was she 17. Older than that, or mm-hmm. younger than that? People were like, oh shit, that's wrong. She a young girl. And it's like, but people were like, no, nigga, she 19.
She's legal.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, but people didn't know. People were kind of like, I don't know. Is she legal? Is she not legal? What's up?
You know, one thing I can commend Beyonce and Jay-Z for keeping their stuff on wraps. You know, the truth.
Trying to, at least.
Well, right? You know, but think about it. Jay-Z, Beyonce, Jada Pinkett and Will. Like, there are really mm-hmm. artists out there that are really saying, you know what? I'm keeping my relationship stuff on it. You can speculate
all day.
You can speculate on what you want. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But, and even now, even with the video coming out about the elevator, you know what I mean? People are still speculating about what the video was about and what was
happening. We had so much fun talking about
that shit. Yeah. But no one still really knows what went on.
No.
You had that, I guess, Instagram joint where Solange put out that, I guess that he was supposedly getting physical. There was some, I guess Beyonce was at some concert and she changed some lines to one of the songs that kind of people were like, is she trying to say Jay-Z cheating? And
they do that to fuck with people.
Well, you know what, I think she had that conversation. What
album was that? The To the Left, To the Left album? What album was that? B-Day.
Yes.
Okay. B-Day. That album was that the album
song
that they,
to me made me raise some questions. I was like, wait a minute here, because she was saying, I can replace you easily.
During that time frame,
I was like, who is she talking to here?
Well, during that time frame, that was the rumor when the rumor during that time frame was her, Jay-Z, and Rihanna were supposed to have been hooking up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was the conversation during that album or whatever. And so I think the unfortunate part about it is, like, all relationships have problems.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yep. And I'm pretty sure that
if yours are carried out in the limelight.
And I'm pretty sure that they probably have more questions of infidelity because they got groupies all over the place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They got more room and opportunity. Like, right. If everyday people are getting away with all kind of crazy freak shit, infidelities, then people who have money and handlers and time and space and opportunity, who knows?
Yeah, who knows what's really going on? And yeah. if she had to change the lyrics in her song to put a message out there to her husband, like, hey,
Get it together.
you are on notice.
You've been notified in public because I don't do stuff in public. So the fact that I did it in public says something.
Yeah, exactly.
Get it together.
Yeah. No, I agree.
You know,
I agree.
Like, I don't know. Teach his own.
Yeah.
Teach his own.
And look, out of all the Disney kids, I have to say, and everybody's not going to agree with me with this, I don't have any issue with Timberlake. I feel like he came up through the ranks the right way.
Yeah.
He's earned his stripes as a white soul R&B artist. Granted, every damn song I hear him do, I wish Michael Jackson had done it first. I'd be like, damn, seriously? How come nobody thought to slide this shit to MJ before he died? Seriously? And he totally has borrowed from MJ's style, but so is Usher.
Yeah.
You know, but I think he
genuine, had, all of them.
Chris Brown, all of them.
They all have.
Like I said, Chris Brown, have another one.
All children of Michael. And I just think... He's one white artist that I actually have no qualms with whatsoever.
He got the pass.
I think he's talented. The pass. I think the brother's got some
and
talent.
He stays out of mess.
Yeah, he stays out of mess.
He's pretty. His only issue was the whole
the Janet Jackson titty situation. People like, and that's still
questionable. He ain't take no responsibility for his part at all.
Can I just say now? Can I put this on record? When that shit happened, I thought it was supposed to happen like that.
I thought it was too.
And I felt like it became an issue because people were offended by Janet's titty out there. But I felt like that's exactly what. Why else would she have a little cup?
Well, because it was like
that. I think it was supposed to happen. Yeah. You had to clean it up after the fact.
Yeah. Right.
That was a lot. I'm gonna have you naked, and it was like boop titty out. Show up.
Yeah.
Right.
Like wait, what?
That was like perfectly handled. I was like.
And
yo,
rip that shit off.
Thank you, but I don't know how this is going to go over to
you. Know, it just was like, well, we ain't putting no black people on the Super Bowl.
And you know what's crazy after that?
Like, that 10 years.
They had,
Prince in the Rain.
The Beatles was the next year.
It was all old motherfuckers.
Yeah, it was the Beatles and then.
No, it wasn't the Beatles. It was
Rolling Stones.
No, not the Beatles. I'm so tripping. I'm sorry. They all dead, pretty much. what's the damn dude?
Don't ask me. Don't lie.
I don't know. Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
That's Paul McCartney, yeah.
Paul McCartney. And this
close. A Beatle.
Yeah. Yeah. But when you fast forward it to the last one, they had your boy Bruno Mars.
Oh yeah.
And put on a fucking show.
Yeah, he did.
Like Bruno Mars.
I like Bruno Mars. I
had never seen him live and
him
I was
on those
like
little drums.
Yeah. I was like, yo, he's kind of a teeny bopper.
Ish to me.
Mm-hmm. But that was a damn good show. I was like, I probably can go and watch him live not feel so guilty about it.
For artists who does pop music like he does, he's a little bit, he's talented. He's got his own little thing. And, you know, that last song, one of the songs he put out, the Sex Takes Me to Paradise or whatever, I was like, this is a good song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was like, I'm probably not going to buy it, but I'm like, when it come on, I'm like,
This is a good track.
Yeah, this is.
I can turn it up.
Yeah, if I heard this when he was making, I was like, you got a little hit.
Mm-hmm. And they had a video circulating, which made me really like him. It was a little girl, and he did this at his concert. It was a little girl who got into a bad car accident and was left slightly paralyzed, and she was in the hospital. And there was a whole news clip
they didn't know how quickly she was going to recover, but her parents were telling them how much of a big Bruno Mars fan she was. And the song Amazing, his song Amazing, You're Amazing, they would play that for her during therapy, and she would respond to it. And slowly she started walking, and then she would just sing. She wasn't really talking, but she would sing. And now she's back in school and, you know, slowly recuperating. And he had her, he was in her hometown and had her, he played the clip. He had her at the show, brought her onto the stage. I mean, sang, held that girl's hand, held her face, little black girl. And I thought that really showcased a humane side to him. He's somebody who cares about his fans. Mm-hmm. Nothing means more to me than an artist who respects the fact that if I didn't have fans, if y'all didn't support me, I wouldn't be shit. And actually shows it. Yep. You know what I'm saying? In their performances. Mm-hmm. You know, stop thinking you can do this shit all by yourself.
he's a small kid from Hawaii.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That, I was touched by that.
That whole... You know, at my multiple visits there, I've learned that family is, and whoever, like, family isn't necessarily blood.
Yeah.
It's right. Who you say is your family.
Right.
And that's how they treat people out there. And he definitely is a reflection of that.
Yeah.
Of that kind of, that village upbringing, for lack of a better word. And I'm like, yo, I can support him.
Yeah.
You know, compared to some other people, because... I'm going to go home and look that up now, actually, because I would like to see that video. So.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful.
I'm going to look that up for real. Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really, really sweet. I mean, granted, it's wonderful press for him to hear that my music is helping people in physical therapy.
Yeah.
But for him to actually have her there and he's sang to her. You know what I'm saying? It's almost as if the rest of the audience wasn't even there. He made that moment about her. And I thought that was just a sweet, sweet thing to do.
Yep.
Just a good natured, good hearted thing to do. So I like, even if I don't ever buy any of his music, I like Bruno Mars.
Yeah. Okay. I can't buy any of his music, but I can definitely I can check him out on YouTube.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Hope you guys enjoyed an episode of The Break. We had a good time recording with KJ and Lady J. And we got some more in the vault coming your way soon. Please make sure you check out their podcast, Welcome to the Village. You can find it at welcometothevillage.com, on Stitcher and iTunes, and all that under Welcome to the Village. And you can follow them on Twitter, at Welcome2TheVillage. Real good people, it's a family. And if you wanted to give us any comments, any feedback, please hit us up on Twitter at Black Is Online, Facebook Black Is Magazine, email kc@blackisonline.com, and you can also check out the website blackisonline.com. Take it easy, y'all.